This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company. For more information and links to all our great podcasts, visit hartmanmedia.com.
Speakers, publishers, consultants, coaches, and info marketers unite. The Speaking of Wealth Show is your roadmap to success and significance. Learn the latest tools, technologies, and tactics to get more bookings, sell more products, and attract more clients. If you're looking to increase your direct response sales, create a big-time personal brand, and become the go-to guru, the Speaking of Wealth Show is for you. Here's your host, Jason Hartman.
Hey, it's my pleasure to welcome Kyle Gray to the show. He published a fantastic article that I saw recently about content marketing and especially engagement and engaging your audience through visual content, which is, I think, a really hot topic nowadays. Kyle is content marketing manager at WP Curve, and he's coming to us from beautiful Thailand. Kyle, welcome. How are you doing?
Hey, Jason, I'm doing well. Thanks for letting me be here.
Yeah, it's good to have you on. I really like your article about the visual content, but you're doing all sorts of things within our content culture, if you will, to get eyeballs and expand influence and, you know, help companies promote their brands. Let's kind of dive into the topic. You know, I'm not sure where you want to start. I'm kind of flexible.
Well, let's just start with that article since we've already mentioned it. There's an emerging trend in content marketing right now. People are producing more and more. And I think what people are really looking for these days is some kind of a story or something that is a little more palatable. There's a lot of people that are just pushing out huge blocks of text. You can get that really easily by hiring ghostwriters in from all kinds of countries of the world. And so people are looking for something a little more quality. You can really bring that through in visuals.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, how do you do visual content? I mean, what is the ultimate way to do this kind of thing? You've got a screenshot in the article and some points about that. You've got some graphs here. When we do visual content like this, I mean, it's really appealing. You know, infographics have been huge in terms of their virality and the pass around is very good on those. But it's pretty hard to create them because you're not only working with the fact-checking element and being accurate, you're also working with a whole visual element. You know, what are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, so I think it depends on really where your business is and what resonates with your audience to find the ultimate or the best kinds of visual content. And that may change from article to article. But yeah, at WP Curve, some of our favorites are just simple screenshots and charts and graphs. A screenshot is just such a useful thing with annotations to point out and quickly communicate what you're doing. It's also part of our kind of company culture being a distributed team of 30 people around the world that we take little screenshots and annotate and we can see what each other's seeing, and it makes communication a lot easier and faster.
And just because you mentioned annotations, any recommendations on what software one should use for that?
So we use Sketch and Jing as our primary softwares. I like Jing. I'm on a Mac right now, and it just kind of sits right in the little corner, and you can just pull it out and take a screenshot right away. I would also say that...
But that's to take the screenshot. How about to write on top of it or draw arrows and things like that?
Yeah, a lot of Jing has software that you can just, you know, lightly throw in some arrows and some text right as you take the screenshot, and then it will automatically upload it to a server so you can have a link and send it to other people really fast, seamlessly.
Okay. All right. And Sketch is the other one you like.
Sketch, yeah. So it really depends on what works well with your audience or what's within your constraints. Infographics have proven time again how you said they can be super viral, very engaging, but they take a lot of time. You have to produce great, great content to put within the infographic. And then on top of that, make the design amazing, and a lot of people just don't have the resources to produce very high quality ones. Even if you can produce one every few months, it may be something worthwhile to invest in if you've got a great piece of content.
Any recommendations on where to get those produced or how to find someone good to do it?
Yeah, so there's a lot of different ways. The tool I discussed in the article is VizMe, and that's VizMe.co. And they have a free infographic tool that you can use to put together a bunch of different kind of infographics with templates and make something pretty good looking, very simply and free. So I think that's a great place to start. And what to do with an infographic? If you don't want to try new content right away, I'd recommend repurposing one of your old articles. So if you had a really good article that's been bringing a lot of traffic or that was a hit a couple years back, see if you can update it and then try and put it into an infographic and see if it will produce new results for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no question about it. You profile Gary Vaynerchuk. He's obviously a fantastic marketer, Vaynerchuk, sometimes known as Gary V.
Yeah.
Because his last name's a little bit tough. Tell us about some of the stuff that you learned from him or that you like that he's doing.
So what he does is he's an excellent storyteller. And I think a good theme with all of your visual content is you want to be telling a story. You want to have kind of a plot to what you're writing with some classical literature elements to it. And what he does with, in particular, his slide shares, but in a lot of how he engages people is everything he says really leads nicely into the next point. So in his slideshow or his slideshare that I feature, each slide is maybe 3/4 of an idea, and it's just like it just gives you enough to get what he's saying and then raise another question. And so it keeps you clicking to finish the idea, and everyone kind of does this over and over, and so you keep clicking forward where he says, I wake up every morning excited about one core thing, and you question, oh well, what is that? And then you click next, and it's 2014 and 99% of people still market like it's 2004. Oh, it's a problem. So, but how do we solve that? It never resolves, and it just kind of builds this momentum. And so you can click through a 64-slide share without even noticing that you did it, just because he engineers this this momentum and this story into, you know, a slide share, which I've seen my fair share of PowerPoints in my past, and I don't see many people using kind of storytelling elements like that in their slides, and I think it could make a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so too. That's great advice. Visual content. I mean, you know, what about graphs? I mean, graphs are great. They're kind of hard to produce, aren't they? You've got Kurt Vonnegut data visualization here, which I like. I mean, this is an intriguing graph. I really want to peer into it and see what it's all about.
Yeah, so I pulled that from Visage.co. That's another design and entrepreneurial website. What was interesting, I was a big fan of Kurt Vonnegut, a great American storyteller and publisher, or writer. When I was looking at Dan's wage, it reminded me of one of his lectures he gave about creating a graph of a storyline, where it kind of rises with good fortune in the beginning with the character, and then something bad happens, and you kind of get that drop in your feeling, and then or a drop in your stomach, and then it finally resolves at the end of the story. It looked just like how Kurt described Cinderella. To produce a graph that could tell the same story as a Cinderella story was something that was really interesting to me, and kind of brought in more of the storytelling elements, like I was just talking with Gary V's slideshare. And to be able to do that on a simple graph is something quite impressive. But I disagree. I think graphs are really, they're very easy to make. We use just Google Drive and some of the Google spreadsheets to kind of input data really simply. I like all of the tools on Google Drive right now, just because Microsoft Word and Excel have just kind of weighed themselves down with so many features, and I get lost in that stuff these days.
And it's like every time, you know, I mean, I'm a Mac user too. We use Macs throughout the company. Mm-hmm. Every software problem, it seems like, is a, you know, the Microsoft stuff, it doesn't close properly. It crashes. It's just constantly annoying. It has to update all the time.
Yeah.
You know, that was the old world. It was good while it lasted, but it's time to use better stuff. So, yeah, good stuff. Okay, so really simple graphs. Slide shares are great. It's interesting that SlideShare is such a high authority website when it doesn't even have video.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just interesting that it's like this two-dimensional medium, and it's as popular as it is. It's really kind of amazing.
It is fascinating, especially, you know, just coming from PowerPoints, and PowerPoints have been something that, I guess, again, talking about Microsoft things that have just been not fun things. I just remember old, you know, weekly meetings of very boring graphs and charts. But the people that have been able to really leverage SlideShare have been really brilliantly putting in lots of images, brief text, and making it very engaging and fun to go through the slides instead of, yeah, just kind of simple, a lot of black on white text, just kind of crowding out the slides.
I think this all just points to, you know, a huge issue that we have. We're all just totally inundated with information, and we're looking for a picture to say 1,000 words. That's why you addressing this topic is so valuable to people. What about custom illustrations and custom headers? That's pretty hard to create, isn't it? Or is it not so hard?
I would say that that's one of the more difficult things to create. I know that this is an area where hiring somebody, a professional, is highly recommended, and you've got to pay a premium for that. But it's a premium that is very worthwhile if you can afford it. Having somebody create something specific for your blog, specific to the content you're writing, can create a much more engaging and interesting image than stock photos. We've all seen hundreds of stock photos in blogs these days that, you know, are maybe 30%, 40% applicable to what the person is actually writing about. I think people are bored of that, what you're saying, like kind of the overload of information that's just not effective anymore, and people can see through that. So investing in custom illustrations not only makes the content that it's on more valuable and more engaging, but if you can have a certain style develop throughout your blog where you have one of these custom illustrations on each of your pages, it creates continuity between your content and a kind of familiarity to it, which is important for your audience.
Do you have any recommendations on where to hire?
I would say Maggie Appleton, I referred to in the article. She is a great illustrator and does a lot of this kind of content for blog posts or custom illustrations. Another place for like a general marketplace that you could check is Dribbble, and that's Dribble.com.
Now, why do you like Dribbble versus some of the bigger ones like Eda, Elance, or Odesk?
So Elance and Odesk are just filled with you know, designers from all over the world, and some of them are, it's kind of hard to tell who's really good or what you can do. Dribbble has a lot of, it's kind of a little less, they're not exactly looking for clients, they're just kind of showing their creations to each other, and you can get to see the person's portfolio and then directly contact them really easy. I just feel like Elance, sometimes people are just trying to take whatever they can get, and there's a lot of people that are trying to undercut the designers, and a lot of designers that are trying to undercut their clients.
Any advice? I try to be really practical in the show, you know, just get your experience on, you know, any advice on how to pay or what to pay or things like that, because there are a lot of we were talking about infographics a few minutes ago, and there are a lot of, you know, infographic websites that sort of offer tools to create infographics, which I think are sort of neat, but I don't know, when it comes down to it, they're still pretty, you know, it's kind of hard to use it.
Yeah. Yeah, and that really depends on your budget. I think if you have a low budget but want to give this a try, you know, try Elance or try Fiverr. you know, use $5, $10, $50. If you want somebody that's going to produce very like high quality, consistent image or custom illustrations, that's going to look more like $500, $1,000+ if you're on that level. So it's certainly an investment, and depending on what your content is worth to you or how far along in the content game you are, that may not sound like that high of a price for the value it can deliver.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, good. Good point. Get into some of the other stuff. I mean, you know, one of them that you're leading up to reminds me of, you know, a website that kind of came out of nowhere and got popular really quick, and that is BuzzFeed, right? When you talk about,
yeah,
you know, using Vines and what about webinars? I mean, how do we use that, you know?
All right. Well, let's talk about a BuzzFeed first, because that's actually a really interesting website. It's one of the only, it's one of the top 10 most trafficked websites in the United States right now. And I think what's really interesting is it gets a majority of its traffic from social shares. Instead of almost all websites still are pretty dependent on Google organic search. And this BuzzFeed almost does not, it maybe if I remember right, it got 7 or 8%, I'm not sure, of its total traffic from organic search and maybe 50 from social shares. Bringing those in with BuzzFeed has a lot of animated GIFs, memes, and it's starting to move into more of a, what would you say, like journalism kind of move. You can find everything from 25 cat photos to reports on Syria in there, which they're kind of trying to broaden their audience. But what made them really popular, I think, and what I see on my Facebook feed all the time is the kind of list articles where it's 25, you know, things that you only know if you're an introvert. And they have little accompanying memes from different pop culture references most of the time. And I think what's really interesting with that is they're borrowing from other stories and familiar faces, familiar situations that you have already experienced from a movie or your favorite sitcom. And then they're applying it with a little bit different text, a little bit different context, and applying it to a situation that is in your life. That makes it really fun and easy to share. And I think you can do that. Just simple memes can go a long way in a lot of your content to kind of, borrow from a different story and add some more, just kind of an interesting feel to your content. And then you asked about webinars.
Yeah, and video courses, although I didn't say that, but you know, that you profile also in the article, which I think is interesting because all of that is moving pictures, right?
Yeah. Well, a video course, in a lot of ways, I see as an extension of screenshots, what we said earlier. It gives you a good way, well, at least in the simplest form, to kind of show what you're doing, demonstrate how to do something in a piece of software or how to arrange something. But you can really make those very much in depth. And video courses, let's see, QuickTime, if we're talking about Mac, is a great place to start with that. It's on, built into everybody's software, and I think you can download it for free on PC. That has screen capture capabilities and even screen and audio, so you can just talk along and get started with that. So you can do those for free and put together a video course very easily. We use GoToWebinar for our webinars. There's the verdict is kind of out on whether, depending on what purpose you have for your webinars, what you want to do with or what you want to educate on.
What about data visualization? I mean, this is really cool. You can't help but just have your eye drawn to something like that.
That's something, before I started working with WP Curve, I was doing conversion rate optimization and collecting a lot of data and being able to visualize it in an interesting way is something that's always been really fun. So if you have a very data-centric site where you're collecting a lot of information from a lot of sources, if you can display that in interesting ways, then I think it will kind of be an extension of the graphs, what I mentioned earlier. It tells a more interesting story. What I mentioned in the article is Matthew Daniels' rapper vocabulary chart, where he kind of plots out how many unique words different rappers used in their first, I think it was 35,000 lyrics or so, and compares them to Shakespeare and Moby Dick, which I thought was a really fascinating way to see, to just look at different rappers and how they can, how some of the more famous rappers actually have a pretty low vocabulary that keep things pretty simple, and then other people are just having these wide swaths of thousands of words said. So that's a very fun, engaging piece of data visualization if you want to see what the kind of the top would look like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good stuff. Really, really, really great. You know, I want to ask you about something that a lot of people might not be thinking of. You know, they've figured out how to make their content look pretty. And that's a huge accomplishment in and of itself. So, Kyle, you've got a bit of a background on the SEO side, and you know it's a huge accomplishment to make your content look pretty, and that right there is you know, a great accomplishment for sure. But what about the way you label the files? Do you have any thoughts on that from the SEO side? Google isn't great at searching images yet, and a lot of it boils down to file names, meta tags, stuff like that. Any advice there?
Yeah, just keep things pretty simple, keep things pretty obvious. Using in the images, always title your images with kind of a relevant keyword. So if it's a social, or when I'm talking about social images, you know, it's just called social image and then maybe Twitter. And I think if you can tie them into more of your main keyword on your article, it could be important, such as my article is on visual content. So maybe having visual content in the title of the image more would be helpful. And also
write in the file name, literally write those words, that text in the file name.
I don't know if you would do it all the time. I would put it in just kind of sparingly, because it starts to look pretty obvious these days if you just have 100, if the keyword is visual content and it appears hundreds of times in your article. But yeah, just kind of make it within context. I had a bad habit for a while of just throwing up an image, and it was, you know, had those weird random like qx5x2.png kind of things. So I would just take basic steps. I think really when it comes to content, it's you should be designing for people, not
for
Google
computers.
Robots. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, we're all trying to get Google's love, you know.
Yeah. And I think the best way to show that is, you know, visual content, having something that people can dig into and see and stay on your website for longer and have more engagement. I think that's really where Google's going to see that you're doing something different and you have something valuable. And that's kind of the new wave in search engine optimization, is designing for people.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's a good point, because Google's certainly looking at the length of sessions and so forth. So very good point. Kyle, give out your website. Tell people where they can find out more. If you want to give out the actual link to this article or some keywords where people will find it. But it's entitled 12 Ways to Increase Engagement Through Visual Content.
Yeah. And you can find that on wpcurve.com. And we've got years of other content gathered, lots of good content, marketing guides, email guides, and always WP Curve is a good place that if you have a WordPress site and you need a little bit of help, you've got small fixes, code's not working properly, we do unlimited small fixes and for $69.99 a month.
And we had one of your founders, Dan Norris, on just a little over a year ago, I think. It's a really cool service. It's a great business model. I think it's obviously working for you guys. I'm sure it's working for the customers too.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be great. So come check us out at wpcurve.com. And you can follow me at Kyle the Gray on Twitter.
All right. Awesome. Kyle Gray, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jason.
This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company, all rights reserved. For distribution or publication rights and media interviews, please visit www.hartmanmedia.com or email media@hartmanmedia.com. Nothing on this show should be considered specific personal or professional advice. Please consult an appropriate tax, legal, real estate, or business professional for individualized advice. Opinions of guests are their own, and the host is acting on behalf of Platinum Properties Investor Network, Inc., exclusively.